I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Christy.
Hey, Will.
How are you today?
I'm really good.
I'm pretty excited for today's episode.
This episode was really life-changing, actually.
It really kind of was. And it also just went a completely different direction than I thought it was going
to
go.
Very inspirational. If you are looking to get into the voiceover industry, this is an episode for you to watch.
You really should. Let's listen to AJ Beckles and how he got here.
I hear voices.
AJ, we're happy to have you here.
Thank you.
And I hear voices.
Yeah, by the way, we don't really, we just kind of start.
That's okay.
So we should say that we're here with AJ Beckles.
Hi, I'm AJ Beckles.
How are you? And we're talking about so unless you are EG or one of the people that kind of grew up in Hollywood or the California area,
right.
The journey that the actor takes to get here is usually a pretty impressive one. Yeah. And we found out that you've now been in town for
like a week.
A week.
Yeah.
But you've been here a week.
Already so known now, and you're here with us, mm-hmm. and you're doing so well. We're so happy for you. We want to be the welcome wagon.
Thank you.
Yes,
guys.
Welcome to town.
Welcome so to LA. I moved to Austin a year ago.
Yeah, you're in Texas. I can welcome you to LA.
So you.
Okay, so, well, I had a couple babies. I moved over to Orange County where my in-laws were.
A couple babies.
I they came out, and I needed more space for them to run around. And then when I was in Orange County, which is beautiful, by the way, and you should go check that out, too. Okay. It's got beautiful beaches, and, you know, it's very different vibe than L.A. and L.A.'s beaches, really, though. They're very different. The beaches in Orange County are very pristine and a lot more like what you would think of sort of a Cali beach. There's more surfing. There's more of that community there. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, Malibu and Santa Monica have it. It's just a different kind of community down there. So beautiful, love it. But I needed more space.
Right.
And there's some fires and stuff.
Yeah, California often just randomly lights on fire.
Yeah,
I've not
heard.
In North Hollywood though.
No, that's safe. No, you'll just one day start shaking.
Because you're a little bit on the fault line.
Welcome.
The best welcome wagon, I don't think.
Well, we're being honest. We're being honest.
You know what? Wouldn't you want an honest account? Mm-hmm. You'd rather have an honest account
absolutely.
Of it rather than what everyone thinks Hollywood is.
I had lived here for like a month and a half before the Northridge quake in 94.
No way.
Yeah. So that was my...
And you were at the Oakwood, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no. That was like
I was
really...
in Y317 at the Oakwood. The earthquake hit. By the way, none of this is going to be about voiceover. Just
yeah, that's okay.
The earthquake hit, and my roommate and I had no idea what was going on. He's like, "Well, I got to wake up and go to work." And I was like, "Dude, I don't think people are going to work now. I think this is a thing. Like, I think he's like, nah, this happens every day." I was like, "I don't think this one happens every day."
Yeah, you knew even though it was that your first earthquake?
Yeah, we did not many of them in Connecticut. So yes, that was my first quake.
Maybe
I had an experience with an earthquake when I was literally in Orange County. Mm-hmm. And my husband grew up, in California. So he was very used to them. And I was back and forth from Connecticut to California a lot. And so I didn't really experience them quite often. Cause I didn't live in the Valley.
Well, it's not like you have them all the time.
It was weird. I never, ever experienced them. And then I moved to Orange County and I'm walking up this staircase that I have and I literally have two babies in my arms. Mm. One's like a newborn and the other's kind of a toddler that's I'm helping up the steps. Mm. And I can just see the chandelier at the time like starting to sway back and forth. And I was like, oh God, this is California.
Oh God.
Here we go.
All of a sudden from Minnesota.
Oh God, I gotta move to Texas.
Everything's shaking.
So we did end up moving to Austin. And Austin's cool too. So if you're ever there.
Long story short, welcome to LA.
Yeah, thank you for having me. thank you. Appreciate it.
AJ's like, what did I do?
What am I doing
on this podcast?
Well, we had you on for a couple of reasons, but one is because there's been such for people that don't know AJ out there, he's obviously a voiceover actor and one whose journey is just starting and kind of growing, which is really awesome.
Yeah.
Already worked with some people that are Crispin Freeman and Richard Horvitz, but also one of my favorite people in the world, and my sister Mary Elizabeth Glenn.
Such a beautiful human being.
She is she's my D&D wife and my sister from another set of parents.
How does one become a beautiful, literally, you're the fifth to tenth person who said that this woman is perfect.
You want to know how you become a beautiful person? By being Mary Elizabeth.
Yeah. Gosh,
I got to meet
this
woman.
She's
the only way, actually.
Caring and loving and just a beautiful, but it's a perfect way to say it. Beautiful person. And has been a good friend of mine for a long time. But not only are you starting your career, but you are really up, if you don't mind me saying, up and coming in something that is exploding right now, which is anime.
Yes.
Now, is that something you set out to do, anime? Or is it all of a sudden like, well, I'm just doing everything anime?
Well, no. My goal is to do voiceover.
Okay.
I have a love for anime. Naruto was something that I grew up on. And it was the reason, like when I was a kid, I was adopted. So I didn't have parents or anything like that that I was really connected to. And Naruto is a story about an orphan child who grows up to be bigger than an orphan child, right? He pretty much becomes the president of his city, right? And that gave me a lot of hope. And so I've always loved anime as a art. And just, I was like, I want to be a part of it. But it's also one of those things, I guess, in terms of career-wise right now, where it's like, if you're in a lot of good, popular anime, it's a great way to get recognition in the general
fans.
Voice.
Exactly. It's fans.
It's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, I've seen people go from 8,000 followers to 20,000 followers in 2 days, and you know, because of
the lines at conventions too. We notice we'll walk in and we'll see well-known on-camera actors that have kind of decent lines, and then we'll be like, "Who's that with the 4 mile line?"
Yeah.
And it's like, "Oh, that's a big anime person." Like, wow, you got to be kidding. You know, get Chris Sabat or Shimo, any of these guys, men and women that are there. Miley, you know, we had Miley from Naruto, where we're talking about, who's a good friend of ours, and you're just kind of like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
She thought it. Now, one of the things we talked about with her was she thought that a lot of it had to do with the pandemic because everybody can binge. And you think that's what it is? Because a lot of these anime shows, there's hundreds of episodes of these shows.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't believe so. I think that's part of it.
Right.
I think a big reason, though, is just because it's so accessible now. Different streaming services are picking up different anime left, right, and center. Back in the day, the shows like Naruto and Dragon Ball Z and other shows like that One Piece is the most popular anime in Japan and the world in general. I think it's sold more copies comic-wise than like Batman, or it's like really close.
One Piece?
Yeah, One Piece.
It's called One Piece, the anime.
It's called One Piece. It's about a pirate wanting to become the greatest pirate. And there's like 1,000 episodes. There's more than 1,000 chapters of this comic. So those stuff have a lot. Nowadays, there tends to be seasons. So there's a spring, summer, fall, winter season, and they'll have 12 to 24 episodes. And you watch those 12, and then you wait until you hear another season's announced. And then,
so it's not like a typical American season. It's a different kind of season.
Yeah.
It's literally like winter. That's cool.
Yeah.
You like seasons.
I do.
I'm
a fan of different seasons. I absolutely am. It's just so funny, though, how actors hear seasons and they're like, well, I'm on my fifth season. It's like, no, I meant fall. Like, sorry. You mean
you're
season.
That booked and busy.
You mean season.
Yeah.
So were you then, before you got into all this stuff, were you a big, I mean, you wanted to come out here and do any type of animation. You loved animation, but were you a big fan of anime? Not just Naruto, but I mean, some of the more obscure stuff.
Anime.
Was this kind of like your jam the whole time?
My original dream was to be a mangaka or somebody that draws anime.
Sure.
Do you draw as well?
I did. And then I gave up because I was like, I don't want to learn anatomy.
Nice.
That's gross. Nice. But that was my original dream. And I decided I wanted to do that when I was like 12. Mm-hmm. It just, one thing led to another. And eventually I discovered voice acting. But
how did you discover voice acting?
Oh,
good question.
Do you want the Spark Notes version?
We want the version that's an hour and 30 minutes long.
Okay. The version that's going to inspire people out there because
again, you started drawing voice. And then you said, I want to be a voice actor, and you've lived out here a week.
Yeah.
And you've done a whole bunch of stuff. So this is your perfect guest on the show
so
because
weird.
You are kind of the people that, you know, everybody watching and listening that says, how do I become a voice actor? What path do I take? How do I do, which we get all the time.
Yeah.
Well, all there's the time. A pretty great example of how to do it.
So how I discovered voice acting, I didn't have any acting experience at all. I don't have any theater or on camera or any kind of experience. I've strictly learned how to act from watching YouTube videos and
interesting.
Stuff like that.
Wow.
Yeah. Whose YouTube videos did you learn to act from?
I just went down the rabbit hole. What does emphasis mean? What does intonation mean? Who's this? My favorite actors? What should I be looking for when I'm watching a movie?
Wow.
That sort of stuff. And I just taught myself.
That's might be amazing. Right, Christy. This computer thing might be here to stay. The more I'm hearing about this YouTubes and all the stuff that's on the internet machine, I think you're right. This might be a thing.
Yeah.
I think that YouTube is great. I think
YouTube.
It is.
Do you mind me asking how old you are?
I'm 23. I'm turning 24 in May.
Wow. Okay. So you're really just... And
he
that's
has an old soul, too.
But that's how everybody learns the stuff now, right? Is you go to YouTube.
Yeah. Well, when you think about it, if you're somebody, you know, so he was in Worcester, and like you and I just happened to live a train ride away, but I mean, that's a little bit farther to get into New York City and do a voiceover.
Yeah, but you could probably do gigs in Boston, I would imagine.
Yeah. So what had happened was I already talked about how anime meant so much to me.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that leads me to eventually, I guess, I enjoyed it as a thing that I watched. It was an entertainment source, along with cartoons like, you know, Kim Possible.
Hey!
You didn't have to say that.
No, but I did.
You must have watched the reruns, though.
Oh, no. I mean, when I was a kid, I loved Kim Possible. I was like, oh, Ron, you better make this work.
I'm doing my best.
But Kim Possible, SpongeBob, those sorts of things, you know, all very important to me as a child because, you know, not to get dark, but like I didn't really know what family was for a long time. So that's
why
I
will say that Disney really did make it a point to make people feel like they had a family in the programming.
Yeah.
They did. That's why originally it was called ABC Family, and that one of the pillars of their content was that, you know, family was not necessarily the family that you had around you.
Sure.
But that
you don't
it could
have to don't have to be blood to be family was kind of
right. It was a community.
That's
you
very
know.
True.
Thank you. Sorry, I did not mean to interrupt you in any way.
No problem at all. But yeah, that's kind of like, that was my whole vibe. And then I decided I want to be a basketball player because I liked sports a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't grow any taller than 5'7". So I was like, well, I'm good at this, but I don't know if I can block LeBron James yet. So I gave up on that. And so around, like I said, 12 or so, I wanted to art.
Okay.
So that's what I did for a long time. And the one thing I tell people is like, especially about voiceover, but in any creative field, is like the second you stop loving it, you don't have to force yourself to keep doing it.
Yeah.
I liked art. I still do. But I got to a point when I was like around 15 or 16 or so where I was like, I don't know if I could like work a job and have somebody tell me we need this many character designs by tomorrow. And like, I feel like that would take the joy out of it for me. And I also didn't want to learn anatomy. So I was like, I'm good. I feel like there's more passionate people out there that will probably want to do this and do better than me. My grandmother had dementia and I'd been helping take care of her since I was like 13 or so up until 17 when she passed. So I didn't really have time for a lot of extracurriculars outside of nothing actually.
Right.
So, so that I wasn't able to do a lot. So even if I wanted to act, which I didn't because I didn't really have an interest in it, I wouldn't have been able to because I just didn't have the time to devote to that.
Oh, I see.
School or anything like that.
Yeah.
Around 16, 17, I was like, I don't know what to do. And my mom was like, you got to go to college. I don't want you to be homeless. And I was like, that's fair, mother. but I don't know what to do. And it was right around my junior year of high school. I'm sitting outside of my cousin's house, and I am just, I don't know, outside enjoying the sun. And he comes out and he's like, "Hey, you ever hear of this voiceover thing?" And I was like, "No, what's that?" And he was like, "Well, it's really easy. You make lots of money, and all you have to do is read." And I was like, "What? That sounds cool."
Wow.
It's not like that at all. No, it's not like that.
Not like that. No.
But he's like, "It's easy. You know, I know a guy and he's, you know, you can test it out and see." And I think normally I would have been like, "No." Normally.
Yeah, what brought him to you? Did you have voices that you
exactly.
did or was it part of your
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't know why he asked me.
Okay.
But I was always an extroverted kid.
Okay.
I am recently thinking that I might have ADHD. So I was like, I'm just all over the wall all the time. Okay.
You've come to the right place.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
we will have seven conversations at once.
Yeah, we don't ever stay on topic.
No, and that's okay. But, you know, I was all over the wall. I was a class clown. I was always a good reader because I got in trouble a lot when I was a kid because I lied all the time. Mm-hmm. That was like my big thing. And I got grounded often. And when I was grounded, I wasn't allowed to watch TV or anything like that. I had to read. So I was reading at like a sixth or seventh grade reading level in like third grade.
What were you reading?
Just chapter books upon chapter books.
Okay.
Yeah, just nothing I can think of where I'm like off the top of my head because I don't.
But you didn't have like a nerddom. It wasn't like I read only fantasy books.
No.
Or I read only graphic novels or I read only comic books.
Okay. I had whatever was in the house.
Okay.
And so I don't really like reading.
Wow,
really?
Really?
Part of the top. Yeah, no, I don't like reading at all.
Especially because it's associated with punishment.
Yeah, that's
maybe.
Trauma.
Maybe. Yeah,
but
it's Pavlovian at this
yeah.
point.
But I was good at reading, and I was an extrovert, and everything like that. And so that's kind of, I guess, it lent itself to maybe him asking me. But I tried it out, and I was good at it. Oh. And I always tell again my friends and everything like that is like, hey, like if you have someone in your life, especially like a younger brother or something like that, if they're good at something, tell them that they're good at it, even if it's like not crazy like Picasso, you know, tell them they're good at it because it just when you're good at something you just want to keep doing it.
Now I'm curious, you say you tried it out, what does that mean?
This random guy he had
this angel basically flew up and was like
he was like, yeah, I've worked in the radio, and I have no idea, he could have been a scammer, I'm not even gonna lie, but he was like, I've worked in the radio and stuff like that, and you know, I have this microphone and I'm gonna give you some copy and you can read it and you can have fun. And I was like, okay, cool. So I got in and I did it and I was like, whoa, this is cool.
What did you like about it, do you think? What was the initial?
I have anxiety.
Me too.
And if I wanted to do on camera or anything like, well, I had never thought about acting, first of all, let me put that out there. I mean, I've said it before, but I never thought about acting. And I was like, whoa, cold reading isn't hard for me because again, I was a good reader. Whoa, I'm not afraid to be myself.
Behind the mic.
Nobody's watching me.
Sure.
He's listening, but like nobody's watching me. I'm just here. I was weird anyway. I was called weird all the time growing up. And I was like, this, I can just be weird and it's okay and it's cool. And that's kind of something that I instantly like connected with.
That's great.
Yeah.
And so basically your advice is wait for a random voiceover stranger.
Yes. Wait for a
to come up to you
stranger.
And say, hey, you know what you should try? Voiceover.
And then you'll be enlightened.
Then it'll just happen.
So you met random voiceover man.
Yes.
Who kind of pointed you on your path.
Mm-hmm.
Did you instantly know you wanted to do animation, or did you think you wanted to do commercials, or did you just not care at that point?
Animation was my goal, but I was young, but I was like, research. Once I like something, I get obsessed with it.
Sure.
Video games, like a part of me is like, and I think what has helped lend me to get better quickly is because I'm okay with doing something for hours at a time if I like it and I don't get bored. I would play a game called League of Legends all the time, you know, when I was younger. And
hours.
And I would tell my friends, and League is one of those games where like you tell your friends that you want to, you know, that they should play it too. But it's like chess almost, except like you can chat and talk to the other team and call them names and stuff like that. So not everybody likes it.
Sure.
But for me, you know, and it's hard. It's hard to get good at.
Okay.
But I like that challenge. So, you know, I would sit down and be like, hey, if you just do this one like menial task for 4 hours every single day for the next month, like you'll be good too. And everybody was like, what are you talking about? I was like, yeah, it's not that hard. You just do it. So that's just me. So when I found out that I liked doing voiceover, I wasn't amazing, but I got obsessed with it. And I went on YouTube and I looked up everything that I could about acting and voice acting and what I wanted to do, which was anime and character work. But then I was like, oh, well, what are, there's other parts. There's commercial too and stuff like that. What makes the most money? Commercial. Well, if I'm going to, you know, do this for the rest of my life, apparently character doesn't make that much money, so I'll get good at commercial. So I practice commercial, even though I know I didn't want to do it, but I was like, I have to pay bills. So I just, that's kind of how I got into it. And then I started auditioning online on, there's a website called Casting Call Club, but I originally started on a website called Behind the Voice Actors, which is a database where I don't know who runs it, but it's a database where they take, you know, you guys are probably on there.
We are. You get, that's where like Behind the Voice Actors does all, like they do the awards at the end of the year too, like best ensemble cast and best actor and all that kind of.
All right.
There's some cool stuff, but I didn't know you could actually audition through that. Well,
yeah. A lot of people don't know that, but you could have back then, very recently, within the last couple months, they got rid of that section because I don't think many people were using it, but I didn't know there was any other avenue. So I used that. And after all of my research, I started getting cast, you know, just for like fan projects or like little indie projects that like high schoolers or maybe college kids were making and you're just having fun on. But I was like, I'm so good. I am the best. I had no idea what I was doing. But I was like, I'm getting cast all the time. And they say that like if you get cast often, like you're good. And I was like, I'm good. So then I started auditioning on Casting Call Club, which is another pretty much version of that, except the entire site is geared towards auditioning for fan projects, fan dubs, where people will take, you know, licensed shows. It's not exactly legal, but, people will take licensed shows, strip out all of the voice over from the Japanese or whatever, and we'll make it funny. Like, we'll write whatever we want, and like, we'll record and we'll have fun and that sort of thing. So I auditioned for those. And then I found a community called Voice Acting Club, which is pretty much all of that, but 10 times more. I think right now there's like 30,000 members or maybe less, professionals or otherwise new people. And there's a whole bunch of categories and stuff that you can, it's like a forum. Pretty much. And I found that, and that's where I found people like me and I could ask questions and stuff. And that's kind of how I got into it. Professionally, it took a while.
Yeah,
it took a very long
time. Not an easy club to get into.
Yeah,
but then once you're in, you're in.
Once you're in, you're in.
Yeah. It's crazy. That's the cool thing.
Yeah, but wait, we can't jump because there's. It took a while. Mm-hmm. What was the thing that broke you into the mainstream industry?
Two things actually, and I'll get to those.
Okay.
But so what happened was Massachusetts, and not being in a situation where I could move. I was in college at this time now. It's been about like, let's say if I found voiceover when I was 17, I think in college, I didn't drop out until my junior year. I think I was 20 at the time. So a couple years, but I was doing it kind of as a hobby. I wasn't doing it all the time. And I had first started college doing communications for the first 2 years because I was like, what's the degree that everybody tries to get when they don't know what they're doing?
And it's
communication.
Sure, exactly. You know?
Because you can branch into other things. It's not a worthless degree.
I feel like communications is like in every degree. You know what I mean? Like if you want the experience of going to college and your parents really want you to go to. So it's like, you know, some people are quick to either condemn college. Mm-hmm. And be like, don't go, you know, just join a country club or something, which by the way is a super privileged point of view, but but people have seen it on TikTok where people are like, you should just throw that money into a country club thing and you'll meet the right people. And it's like, there's no rhyme or
thing. That's a real thing.
People are saying online, have you seen this?
Is it ironic? Like they're just saying you're throwing your money away from college, but they want you to go. So they just want you to marry somebody.
To the man here?
Well, it's pretty much just like, hey, like instead of going to college, take that same money that you would spend on college and get it put into a country club. You'll get way more out of it. You'll make connections. You'll network. And
with people who are already, because with college, when you go, all those people are going to go a million different roads. And then eventually in 10 to 15 years, be at the level of...
Yeah, four-year colleges are not what they used to be, nor are they necessary anymore. And a two-year college where you can actually focus what you want to do is probably better, but I think that...
Was that what yours was, a two-year college?
Important.
No.
Okay.
More important than just putting your money in a country club.
It's a. I think it's a out of the box, not really thought out concept.
No,
it's a new age.
That's not thought out. To not go to college, but to take the same amount of money and go to a country club. Yeah. Oh, it sounds like it's perfectly planned.
Are you serious? I think. Wow. I don't know. What do you make of it?
Well, I think that's dumb. I don't know. I think college can be necessary, and it can, it depend,
sure, depends. Sure, depends on what you want to do.
It depends on what you want to do. If you want to be a voice actor or an actor, and you have the money, and you were like, I'm gonna go to, unless it's like a really crazy good theater school. Like, I feel like you just take workshops, or you know, take an intensive with someone that you really trust. I feel like there's other avenues.
Yeah, there's ways to study your craft, but short of going to a country club
and hoping that you meet somebody.
Yeah, which is, that is...
Well, the other thing, too, is
it's
like...
It's so funny that all these trends you're talking about on TikTok, a lot of them seem foolish.
Yeah. It's kind of weird.
Are you on TikTok?
I'm obsessed with TikTok. It's bad. It's not good.
Slow clap.
Is that a TikTok thing, the slow clap?
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Should we start that? The TikTok challenge. You got to slow clap while throwing your money away.
Yeah. Yo, poor Will's going to wake up the weeks to come from our filming of all of this. Mm-hmm. He's going to be like, TikTok. He's just going to like, in the whole night.
Bet.
What is PTSD. A trend?
Yeah, no. Not a chance is that ever going to happen. No, again, a four-year college is not what it used to be. You do sometimes come out qualified for absolutely nothing, carrying a large amount of debt, mm-hmm. which is why a two-year school that can focus what you want to do, mm-hmm. Where you learn a trade, something like that, is hugely important. And then you come out and you plumbers.
It's more like an apprenticeship.
Sure, but it's also, you know, electricians, plumbers, I mean, people that are making a ton of money are focused at what they do,
and
are massively in demand. They're always needed.
Yeah.
So this idea that where it's like, you know, I've spent several hundred thousand dollars, I'm $90,000 in debt, and I'm going to move back in with my parents because I'm actually qualified to do nothing. For a lot of people, that's not a good thing. For some people, you want to move on. You want to be some sort of other professional. You want to be a teacher. You want to be something like that. I get it. But
but you don't regret those 2 years, right? Or do you kind of feel like maybe you could have just jumped to where you are now?
I don't regret it, not because of the schooling, because I feel like college, again, I was taking communications, but I eventually switched because I was like, I wanted to be an actor.
Okay.
Let me just join the theater. Like, I don't, whatever. Join the theater and see if I like think I like that more. I don't know.
Sure.
Because my grandmother had passed. My younger brothers, who I haven't mentioned yet, but one of them's autistic and the other one has ADHD and, you know, stuff like that. But they were getting older.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel like I needed to be in
the burden house. Wasn't on you as much anymore. Yeah.
So I was like, let me try this theater thing out and see if I like it. And I did it for a year in Worcester State. I love you, but also it doesn't have the best theater program at all. So I took it, and then I was like, I feel like I learn more from YouTube than I am taking this.
Wow,
this
really?
Course, yeah. Okay. Because it just, I was like, I'm not learning anything. I'm not learning any script analysis. There really was no acting class. To get your degree, you had to, because they didn't have enough people to do set design, you had to do like 40 hours of unpaid labor to pass the course. And I was like, this is stupid. Wow.
Now, was this during COVID?
No, this is
So then were you performing in front of people at least? I mean, were you?
No.
You weren't, it was a theater program where you weren't performing?
No.
You weren't,
it was
any
small.
Sort of
I
script breakdown or not?
Nothing. I don't even know if I would call it a theater program. Like, I took an improv class.
Okay, which is hugely important, especially when it comes to being a voiceover actor. Hugely important.
And which was fun.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I liked that a lot. But other than that, like, there was one acting class.
Do you think you'll end up taking an acting class here?
Yes, I probably will.
Okay, be weary.
That's a great idea.
Be weary.
Yeah.
We can give you some.
Please.
Be weary, but also be, you know.
Proactive.
Yeah, because it's, you know, one of the things that we've, for all the guests we've had come on here, and we've had directors, we've had now some, you know, Eric Bauza, who's the best in the world.
He had a nice smile.
You know, arguably the best in the world, and was an artist and all that kind of stuff. They all say the same thing where it's like everybody thinks they can just come out here and be a voice actor, and they forget because they can do funny voices. And they forget that the acting is the most important part.
Yes.
And Eric said that was his problem when he started, was he said, I could do a whole bunch of funny voices, but I wasn't that great an actor. And draw.
Yeah.
But I wasn't that great an actor.
He just drew that.
Yeah, that's Marvin the Martian.
I hate people that are talented.
But you can draw too.
So you hate
so
yourself
jealous.
Too. Here, Eric just did that an hour
that's
ago.
So freaking cool.
Yeah, he did it while doing the voice.
Oh my
of course.
God. Really?
Yeah, of course.
Wow.
Of course.
That's amazing.
So that's, but it's that's what they've all said is that everybody's like, you know, make sure that you
your acting, because that's the most important part is being an actor. That's so strange to hear about that acting program where you're not, because I figured it was like, well, at least, you know, maybe you're not learning what you can, but you're getting experience acting in front of other people. So that can kind of get over that shyness you were talking about, and you're kind of thrown into the mix of a little bit.
Let me preference it by saying that some of that is on me, because I still had my anxiety and myself like that. I could have auditioned. There was, I think, two plays that were happening while I was there. I didn't, because I wasn't at the point where I was comfortable enough with that, because I was expecting, I was like, oh, acting, I can just get comfortable in acting classes, and then I can, you know, when I'm ready for that. But I never stayed long enough for it to, but I also didn't learn anything or get in a position where I was like performing even in front of my own classmates or anything like that. It just didn't happen.
You got an amazing journey, really, because you're here now doing so well, and you're going to do big things, and you already have such a great community around you, that family, you know, that it's here for you. Mm-hmm. And like, you're finding all of that, and that's all kind of happening. But in listening to your journey, it's really beautiful. And it's cool that there was something in you kind of like guiding you. There was something in your mind, like, because you're like, this is not enough. This is not enough. I'm going to go back to YouTube. I'm going to do the work the best way that I can with the resources that I have.
Yeah.
And you kept going back to that, and you kept educating yourself to the best of your ability.
Yeah.
And you did. I mean, you didn't really need the classes in traditional college.
Not everybody does, or at least if you're not getting the stuff that you need from it. But did you get, it's Takemichi, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you book that role back there?
No. So, wait, yes. But
I was going to say, you've lived here a week. So,
yeah,
I mean,
I did. sorry.
No, no problem.
Would you like your water?
Yes, please.
Cheers.
That's your instrument.
With my...
You're not supposed to cheers with water? No, you can cheers with water. You can't toast with water. That's what it is.
Pretty much what had happened was I got to the point, you know, because of my adoption, I could go to any state school kind of for free.
Okay.
On top of the Pell Grant and other stuff like that. So I hadn't spent any money. I will be the first to mention that even though, like, I didn't have the money to do things and I didn't get the opportunity to do things, I was still very privileged.
Okay.
So I didn't have to pay for college. So when it came to the point where I was, like, depressed enough and I was like, I don't want to do this thing enough, I talked to my mother and I was like, hey, we haven't really spent any money on college. I will take a year off, which every dropout says. I'll take
a year
off.
Of course.
Then, you know.
A gap year.
I'll go back.
I still say I'm going to go back.
Yeah. So the beginning of 2019, I got a booth. I got a booth because I was like, oh, I wanted to be professional. And luckily I had the money and everything like that. I just went on like a Facebook marketplace and I was like, booth.
Okay.
And I eventually found one in Brooklyn. So me and my cousin rented a U-Haul, drove down to Brooklyn, broke it down at the guy's house, drove it back to Massachusetts and set it up.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So I got that. I had like a Neumann. I had, you know, a whole bunch of other stuff that I saved money for and bought and got. But there was no work. So for about...
Like real work. Like
yeah,
you
there was
could
no
do the fan stuff, but you wanted to
I
make
wanted
that leap.
Sure. I was kind of at the point where I was like, I know I'm good enough to... I hear what is being put out into the world, and I feel like I am on that same level.
Yeah.
And not in a cocky way, but just like being so
observant. An actor has to have confidence.
You have to
walk in and know that you're better than the guy next to you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Or you're never going to work.
You have to stand up and claim for yourself. And if you're putting all that work in over all those years and you have that passion, then
The way industry works, especially, it's like, it's really not about, well, you want to make sure you're good, obviously.
Sure.
But if nobody knows who you are,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
You're just a voice in a box.
Yeah,
exactly. You could be the best guy in your room.
Yep.
And it doesn't really matter.
But you didn't feel like any of your like anxiety and stuff that was holding you back or anything,
no.
right? If anything, it was motivating you?
Yeah. Or? No, I'm kind of impatient. Mm-hmm. So I got all the stuff. This is why I got everything so quickly. Everybody's like, don't buy that equipment yet. And I was like, I'm good enough to have the equipment. It'll pay for itself. I don't care. So I got the equipment. And then I was still doing the work. I was still like practicing. At this point, I started to take voiceover like workshops and stuff. So
with anybody we'd know?
Mary Elizabeth.
Okay.
And Richard and Crispin and a whole bunch of other people.
You do Steve Bloom. You do Dee Bradley Baker stuff.
Not Dee Bradley Baker either. Just because those classes are so hard to get into.
Okay,
everybody's like...
I'm sure the folks
down.
At CSD can make a call.
I think also Mary would help you out with her husband, Steve.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But so I was kind of like in this space where I was like, ah, oh, man, nobody like know, nobody's paying really attention. Married, so I was way, like, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And I got on Twitter and I was like, well, let me just be around my community.
Okay.
If the, you know, let me get involved in my community. Let me uplift other people. You know, let me like get involved because of
all social media.
Social media. So the end of 2019 happened. Oh, I don't think anything big happened at the end of 2019. I think I got a couple of regional agents just by cold emailing, but like I wasn't getting consistent work from them, like maybe an audition or two.
Sure.
So it wasn't anything where I was like, oh, I can write home about this. Because the rule book said you don't want to reach out to a national agency until you have resume and all this other stuff. And I was like, well, the rules say, so I didn't do anything.
Okay.
So 2020 happens. And we all know what happens in 2020.
Ah, 2020.
but around then, March of 2020, was when everything happened, like the shutdown and everything like that. But slightly before that, I had worked on a project. And this is where I met my girlfriend, actually. I'd worked on a project called a podcast. And I like doing audio dramas because they're more serious tend to be. I didn't like doing the funny stuff. I kind of vibed more with on-camera styles of grounded acting.
Okay.
So I was like, that's what I like to do. And on, you know.
More Batman in the animated series than Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Exactly. So that's what I was doing. I was working on a project called Kalila Stormfire, Economical Magic Services. Right?
It was really cool. $5 handle right there.
Yeah. And I was on that project with my eventual girlfriend, Anaris, Anaris Quinones, who was also the CSD. So the audio engineer on that project happened to be the head of the audio department for DN Audio, which is an audiobook like producer.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a whole bunch of I looked them up. They have big list of, I think, Debbie Dairy Baby, is that her last name? I don't remember. But she plays Jimmy from Jimmy Neutron and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And she, you know, she was on there. So I was like, okay, this is legit. And I got on that and I got offered an audition for a book called A Song of Wraiths and Ruin. I did the audition and I got that. It was my first audiobook, you know, audition.
Audiobooks are awesome.
Yeah.
Audiobooks are fantastic. Did you enjoy that experience?
I did. I was scared.
Okay.
I was very scared.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy the experience.
Yeah.
And you used in your booth.
It was my first time ever doing a professional.
Oh my gosh,
gig.
You did it for yourself? You produced your own audiobook or you were in this?
No, you must have recorded from your booth though, right?
I recorded from my booth.
Yeah, because everything shut down.
They wanted to get me into a studio. They're like, if you're comfortable. I was like, no. I have two people with comorbidity. With problems.
My family. And take two.
Yeah. I was like, I don't feel comfortable going into a studio.
Sure.
And they were like, okay, fine. Well, send us a sample? And my sample was good. And it was kind of around the time when every voice actor was like struggling to find a booth and get all that stuff. And I had already bought it a year prior. So I was fine.
Lucky.
And I had Source Connect and I had everything that I needed because I just started
ahead of the game
it.
Already.
Yeah. That's amazing. I started paying for it because I was like, if I ever need it, I don't want to say no.
Sure.
To a project.
Again, you were like called to doing this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
All like because it was kind of lined strange, up. Crazy, random
strange,
voiceover
crazy
man.
Crazy man.
We still don't even know who that is.
No. So I did that book and it was like around, I think, spring-ish.
Mm-hmm.
It was really hot and I remember like sweating profusely and like almost passing out because I was so nervous.
In
my booth. Yeah, because it was really hot.
And you were nervous as you were recording it?
I was extremely nervous. Whenever I do something for the first time, I've only recently recorded in the studio for the first time.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm nervous. When I read my audiobook, I'm nervous. My first callback, nervous.
Sure.
But after that, I'm fine.
Yeah.
But I was very, very nervous for this.
And that's like a long amount of time to be nervous.
Yeah, we had to do it. It was
audiobooks.
3 days
every
day, and it was 8 hours.
Yeah,
they're long records.
Yeah.
I recently was doing a lot of audiobooks. I haven't been doing a lot of VO work in animation and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took to doing a lot of audiobooks as I was pregnant and I'm moving around.
Yeah.
And it was it's a really different experience in terms of it being a part of the industry of voice work. Have you done any kind of an audiobook
before? I have. I did some of the Chicken Soup stuff and stuff back in the day. So
I read those.
I did. They were cool. There was always be like a quote from one of us or something in the front, and then
that's
we'd
so
read
cool.
a bunch of the stories and things like that. Yeah, the audiobook world is, again, the thing that's very cool about the voiceover industry, and we've talked about this before, is there's worlds of built into worlds, built into worlds, built into worlds.
Absolutely.
So you'll get commercial actors, you'll get books on tape. The new big thing now, which we've just done, is there's they're starting to do basically their audio movies.
So we're doing one right now. They just released the first section of it based on a 70s and 80s graphic novels called ElfQuest, which were cool. And there were like 20 actors. We all went in, and then they take it and they do it just like a regular,
like with Foley and everything.
Foley, full on Foley battle scenes with horses, and you hear the blood, and it's really, really cool.
And that's not the same thing as an audio drama.
It's almost like an audio drama.
It is like an audio drama. It's just a little more in depth with the way that they're recording and multiple cast. It's not, you know, it's 20, 30 people from a cast, and it can get very.
And it was an ensemble record.
Yeah, it was, but it was a remote ensemble. It was my first ever remote ensemble record. Wow. So there was all of us. We were synced up through multiple booths, literally around the country. Two people were in Vegas. I was in LA. Two people were in New York, but we were all recording at the same time. So they had to sync us all together.
Wow.
But it was, so, I mean, there's, you know, then there's animation. Then there's within animation, then there's the anime and, and voice dubbing, which is an entirely different thing. So everybody thinks it's like, I'm a voiceover actor. I'm in the world. It's like, well, you're in one of the worlds, which is in a world, which is in a world, which is in a world. It's the Russian doll.
Yeah.
It was very, very cool. But the, I'm still, so you're in there, you're recording your audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
You're loving it.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you get from there to then essentially you're starring in Tokyo Revenger?
Okay, so I did the audiobook. Now, it goes back to what I was saying. There's two things. One, the pandemic.
Right.
Without the pandemic, none of this is possible. Because beforehand, they were like, you got to be in LA. You got to be in Texas. We can't record you remotely.
You're a little bit more closed-minded.
Yeah. Unless you're, you know, Steve Bloom or you're somebody else.
Politics is local. Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah, there were so many. And everybody was like, it's impossible. Like, we can't do it. And I was like, I know it's possible because you do it all the time for specific people.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can't do anything. But the pandemic made it possible. And the Floyd protests, because there was this trend on Twitter when the Floyd protests happened, black creatives of all kinds, writers, authors, actors, voice actors, were getting boosted. They were like, look at these people's work. They deserve to be seen. Look at them. Now, I had done A Song of Race and Ruin. I announced I had done A Song of Race and Ruin, and I didn't really have any followers. I think I had like 1,000 maybe. And everybody was like, really excited. I had like 500 likes, which isn't huge, but because people were so actively looking at POC, I had people in the industry looking. I was like, oh, well, can you send me your demo? Let's see.
Okay.
And you were set up for that in terms of ready to go.
Because of the audio dramas I had done, I had worked with an engineer that was like, you're amazing. Can you help me with making a demo? I wrote my own demos because I was a decent writer. And I was like, I think I know my voice better than I'd trust a random person.
Sure.
But I don't know how to engineer. Can you help me? And he's, again, amazing. Now he's like working with video game companies and stuff like that. But back then he wasn't. And he did my demo. So I had like a really solid, really professional sounding demo that I was giving to people. And that got me in anime studios and stuff like that. But not enough to get me work. But enough to where people were listening. They were like, oh, who's this AJ guy?
Yeah.
You know? Also, Anaris, who is now my girlfriend, but back then was my friend, had booked anime as well. And she booked two big characters. One big character on a show called Pokemon and another big character on a
show. What show?
Pokemon.
What is it?
It's this show, Pocket Monsters.
Got it.
Yeah.
What? I don't understand.
So she booked that and it was like a short and that got like 30,000 likes when she announced that. And then she booked a character named Miriko on a show called My Hero Academia, which is probably the biggest show right now.
Yep.
Everybody loves Miriko. Another 30,000 likes. She blew up. Another friend of mine now, Zeno Robinson, he announced a character named Hawks, who's probably the most popular non-main character of that show.
Mm-hmm.
He blew up.
And now where are you guys? Are you in Mass? Still?
So what do you mean?
Where are you living right now?
Oh, I'm in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
She's in Mass too.
She's in Florida.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, she's in Florida. So I start to interact with them, not because I'm like, oh, like I need to use these people, but more so because I was like, I have never seen black people in anime in major roles like this before. And you guys, well, one of them is my friend. The other one, I was like, whoa, because my number one thing when I decided to be a voice actor was like, you look up voice actors and you would see like when you look up like voices of Tara Strong or something like
Sure.
Right? You see a whole like in the thumbnail, like walls and walls of characters of different races, monsters, everything. But when you look up black voice actors, you only see black characters or monsters. And I was like, I want to be the first black person, male, whatever, to voice a very popular non-black role in the anime industry.
Okay.
Awesome.
And Zeno did it first. And I was like, now I know it's possible.
You can do it. Yeah.
Representation is important because
of that. Very important.
Right? It's so important because I was like, oh, I was saying that and I was going to do it, but like now I know I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that led to, you know, I guess more eyes on me, but it didn't get me any real opportunities, I'd say. And then
you're saying you weren't handed anything. You know what I mean?
No. And so I was taking workshops more often and stuff like that, trying to get better because there is a limit to how much you can learn by yourself.
Sure.
There absolutely is.
Or through the YouTubes.
Exactly. And I couldn't take any in-person classes. So I was like, well, I can take workshops. So I did. And again, back in the day, you had most of workshops happen in person. And I was like, I can't pay for a $700 plane ticket to go take this $800 class for a day. So it wasn't feasible. But I had a bunch of savings from working at a grocery store for, you know, a little bit. And I took as many as I could.
Grocery store back east?
Yeah.
Stop and Shop?
No.
Big Y?
Price Shopper.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That's
what we call it, Price Shopper.
So I did that, but there was, I wasn't booking anything other than other audiobooks, because that audiobook that I read went on to be a New York Times bestseller, and was
like huge.
Number one.
Audiobooks are exploded again. So yeah.
So there was that, and then what else did it lead to? I think it was like number one on the audio drama section of audiobook section of Amazon and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, Audible, stuff like
yeah,
that.
And yeah, and it was half me and half another woman named Jordan. But
they're very loyal. Like the Audible people.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody who hires in the audiobook are very loyal, and they'll come back immediately and they'll be like, hey, we have another book for you.
That's cool.
Immediately. Yeah. I ended up doing seven books that year.
Wow.
But I didn't book anything else. I wasn't booking. And I was like, I am garbage.
I went from I'm the best, I am so good at this, to wow, I'm terrible and I made a horrible mistake.
Because during
Welcome to the entertainment industry.
Here I am. I love it.
Yep.
But throughout this whole time, I was like starting to get more and more known and everything like that and getting better opportunities, but I still wasn't booking anything. And I think part of that has to do with the talent being better. Obviously, the better you get, the people around you are better as well. I mean, it is what it is.
Were you also doing social media stuff? Like you were mentioning social media in general as a part of your way into the community of other, you know, the...
Yeah, kind of. I was writing my own. I was like, well, I have nothing to do and nobody's giving me. So I was like, I would write my own like little mini quote unquote skits. And then I would, you know, a minute or so long, I would post those online. They didn't blow up or anything, but that was my way of showing people. But other than that, I was just interacting. I was just being like, when people would announce, oh, I'm voicing this character, I'd be like, congrats. Like, that's awesome.
Right.
I would try to be positive because it's...
You like put yourself into the community.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. And again, not in slightly in a strategic way, but also like mostly I was just like, I want to be a positive voice.
You showed up.
True. You know, I feel like there's a lot of negativity on
social media.
You know, it's crazy.
No, all positive stuff.
I know.
Happy people.
Only recently.
Pushing towards other happy people. Yeah.
But I was like, I want to be a positive voice. So I was just interacting with my friends that I had gained and everything like that. But it still felt very reclusive.
Sure.
Because my bed, I get up, I have something to do. I have auditions. My bed booth.
Yeah.
And my room wasn't
big. It's a very enclosed world.
Yeah. So, but that's what I did. But I got to a point where I was very depressed because I couldn't leave my house. And I was like, all of my work is in my room. And I was like, I was in a very dark place for a little bit. And then I was like, nobody's ever going to, what's the point? I was like, nobody's going to give me, but I still kept trying. And I was like, well, people that give up don't see any results. Yeah. So I was like, I'll just keep going. And
you know who else that same thing happened to?
Hmm.
Every other actor.
Yep.
Yeah.
You just got to keep going.
It's true. Yeah.
And the same advice I tell people, I tell myself. I was like, hey, whenever I had those dark moments where I'm like, I don't know if I like this, I was like, can I imagine doing anything else with my life? Nope. Okay, I'll keep doing it.
There you go. Nice.
That's actually healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually the healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if I could, I'd be like, all right, it's time to hang it up for a little bit. You know, maybe not forever, but for a little bit. But I never got to that point.
Yeah.
I did. I mean, not with voiceover, but with on camera.
Yeah.
I got to the point where I just went, I'm done with this. And it's been 15 years, 17 years. Yeah.
Too much sometimes.
Yeah. I just didn't want to do it anymore. I just couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
So.
So
then did you get an audition? Is it just like a regular? Is that what happened?
No. So workshops, I was like, what? I was like tired of rules. I was tired of everybody being like, you have to do this, this, this. You have to have a resume.
Here's the order you have to follow. Yeah.
I didn't have a resume, but I knew I was good at commercial.
I'm really actually thinking that this is going to be a really positive and important podcast episode for us because
it is. Well, it also shows the way it, because this is a one path where it's like
a genuine path.
Yeah, exactly.
Like we've talked to many people, right? Like we're really lucky and privileged ourselves to be able to access EG Daily or Kevin Conroy or like any of those people mm-hmm. who have been in it for decades.
Yeah.
But what we have not been able to really track is someone with not only your point of view, your journey, mm-hmm. your goals, the mm-hmm. things that you wanted to and want to contribute to mm-hmm. the voiceover community in a big way. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, like how exactly you did it and didn't get discouraged. Because when we're at cons, I'm at like a loss when young people, younger than you, around your age, they come up to us and they're like, I have a great Daffy Duck or I have these great voices mm-hmm. and I love drawing and I love this and I love, how do I do it? And we are like, well, you can take the online courses and you could do this, but like, it's hard to say, go for it, because mm-hmm. it's such a blanket statement.
Yeah.
Well, you're also potentially telling somebody who might not have, I mean, here's the thing, at the end of the day, a lot of it, not all of it, but mm-hmm. a lot of it comes down to talent.
Yeah.
So you could be telling somebody who unfortunately maybe doesn't have the talent that AJ does.
Sure.
Give up whatever you're doing and go for it. And it's kind of like, wow, that's not good advice because you can't sing. You can't really act. You can't. I mean, again, I could want to be the best pop star in the world. I can't sing. I just can't. Mm. So, you know, somebody, some singer, my favorite singer, it's telling me, hey, give up what you're doing right now and become a singer would be really bad advice for me.
I think that there is a difference. And then we should most definitely get back to your journey. Mm-hmm. But there is a difference between saying to somebody, give up what you're, you know, give up everything that you're doing to make a living and go and, you know, achieve your dreams. And something like what EG said, where she was like, if you're a singer, sing. If that's what is making you happy. What she means is like what you were doing.
Yeah.
Which is like, if you have a passion for it and you're educating yourself and you're putting yourself on the... It's hard. There's a fine line.
Well, William Daniels, who played Mr. Feeney on Boy Meets World, would always tell us the same thing. We'd always say, what's the best advice you could give a young actor? And he always said the same thing. He said, actors act.
Yeah.
So he said, that means if you're with your family and they don't know what to do, you stand up in front of them and you act. Uh-huh. He goes, if you're in a mall and you don't know what to do, you act. He goes, actors act. You take whatever opportunity you have to do the thing you love. Whatever it is, I don't care how small it is. I don't care if you're in a shopping mall. I don't care. You take that opportunity and you do it.
Well, and AJ, you are exactly that. And yeah, exactly. But I don't think
also
I've ever seen
making the opportunity happen is the thing.
I tell, to speak on that, like the talent thing, I still tell, I'm like, now that I have, again, not a huge following, but I'm more and more people are following me. And I always say to other voice actors that are starting, you may never get to the point where I am.
That's true.
And it's just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I accepted that fact when I was starting. I was like, I may never be Troy Baker. I may never be insert person here, but I like doing this.
Yeah.
And I might have to work a normal job. I might have to work three jobs.
I'll never be Eric Bauza.
Yeah.
You know, I just won't.
It's just, I'll
never be EG Daily.
No. I mean, again,
but I'm my own thing. Do you see what I'm saying, too? And there's value in that.
That's the thing. We've got our own paths. That's the thing.
Right. It's just as long as you are fulfilling that part of it, life's too short.
And
just do what you want.
If you're happy, that's what it's about. Yeah.
Exactly.
Sorry, we interrupted you.
No, you're fine.
I still want to know how you got Takamichi and almost.
He's getting there.
I'm really close, actually. So those workshops, again, I was like, I'm tired of rules. And everybody says, you have to cold email. You have to send. I was like, what's the best way? I feel like people that are agents want to make money. And I feel like if I'm good enough to make the money, they won't care about my resume. They'll just want me. So I was like, well, how can I do that?
You're assuming the industry is about money. It's not. You're crazy thinking agents want to make money. Crazy.
They're there for you.
Yes, they love you. They're there to represent you.
But, you know, I was like, what can I do? Well, there's agency workshops where you can go and you can, you know, interact with an agent and figure out what they look for when they're... And I was like, well, I haven't booked anything in 7 months. So this is, I don't know what else to do. And I was like, I also know I'm good enough. So I was like, you know what, let me take an agency workshop. So I looked up agencies. I mean, I've already knew what the agencies were, but I was like, what agencies are doing workshops right now? And at the time, Abrams Artist Agency, A3. Was doing a workshop. And I took that workshop. And I was like, you know what? I think what better way to prove to an agent that I'm ready than to knock their socks off in front of 10 other people that are also trying to get their attention in front of them.
Sure.
People, someone I've never interacted with, and a huge opportunity, whatever. Or maybe I don't go off. Maybe I don't go crazy. And maybe I just learn something new. So I went there and it was a commercial workshop and I just so happened to be good at commercial. And I was like, you know what?
But that's what you started at.
Yeah, I mean,
to make money. Do you remember?
Yeah, I mean, of course.
See, I'm tracking.
I love how you ask him if he remembers his own life. Remember when you did that in your own life?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember what you said?
I don't know.
I'm the best podcast host
you
ever.
You are the best, the greatest.
You are absolutely entertaining. We'll give you that every step of the way.
But I took the workshop and I, during it, I was like, you know, can we reach out to, because some of them say we don't take unsolicited emails. And they were like, yeah, go and reach out. It's just like, it's for legality reasons. Sometimes they put that there, but you know, reach out. It couldn't hurt. And I was like, you know what? That just gave me enough to do that because I don't care. I think a lot of my peers that I love dearly are too afraid to put themselves out there.
I'm not governed by rules. Fear.
The worst thing that you can do is like be very cordial and they'll be like, I don't want you. And then they won't respond to your email. Like you'll be okay.
Yeah.
So that was like, oh, all right, no unsolicited emails. You say that's okay. I'm going to message every single national agency in this country and I am going to, you know, put myself out there.
Sure.
So and also A3 because I was like, I know you like me.
Yeah.
Because you were telling me I was doing very good.
Okay.
You weren't saying that with everybody. So I was like, I'm going to reach out to you also. Also, what do you like when, you know, when people are emailing you? What do you like to see? He's like, oh, bullet points. I was like, awesome. So I did it the exact way that she said to. And I reached out to her and everyone else. But the only people that got back to me 5 days later were her and Vox.
Okay.
And it was the same day within an hour of each other. And an hour before I got any of those emails, I was talking to my friend and I was like, why won't anybody give me a chance? And I was like, oh my gosh, please. I'm so sick of this. And then I got an email from Vox and we were like, we want you. And I was like, what? And I started screaming. I was running around my house. I was like, ah, yeah. And so that happened. And then I was right around to sign. They were already sending me auditions. Like it was within an hour. It was crazy.
It happened.
Oh, yeah. You got to be ready. And you were.
And then I was like, oh, this is my last opportunity. Nobody's ever going to want me again. I have to take it. So I was like, yeah, I'll sign the paperwork right now. And Abrams got back to me as I'm doing that.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, but ultimately, I ended up going with Vox.
Vox is great.
Vox is wonderful. But
you're not with Vox anymore.
Not with Vox.
No, there's a lot of great VO agents out there.
Some are better than others, but
every
some are
agent
definitely better than others. No, there are great ones out there. Are a lot of great ones out there, but some are definitely better than others.
Yeah, I've
been repped by so many different VO. I've been repped by CESD. I've been repped by Vox. Who am I repped by now? I don't know.
A3?
I was repped by William Morris. I think I still am repped by William. I'm with A3. I've been repped by a lot of different voiceover, and they are all awesome.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a good, I remember joining and I was like, listen, what's not going to happen? Because I was like, I'm the talent. I will tell you what I expect from you guys and I will do everything that you ask me.
Cool.
But here's what I expect. I am not going to be put in a box of blackness. I want to be more than that.
Sure.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I was like, I messaged to the president of, you know, he also does commercial and stuff.
Yeah.
But I was like, hey, listen, and not in an aggressive way.
Course.
I was just like, here, I am more than happy to do whatever you send me. But if I start to get more of these kinds of size than anything else, when I know there's more, I will take notice of that. And I won't like that very much.
Wow, good for you.
And he was very nice. And he was like, yeah, we absolutely expect that. And I appreciate you coming forward and saying that. And I was like, awesome. I'm glad we're on the same page. And then I had my meeting. Then I started with them. And long story short, I eventually just got to a point where I was like, I don't know if this is the best fit for me.
Okay.
And I was like, what's the best way to find another job when you already got one? So I was with Vox already, and I was like, and Anaris at this time had acquired representation from CESD. And I was, you know, she was like, well, why don't I just recommend you to my agent, Sam? And I love Sam to death.
He's the worst.
terrible human being. Unlike Mary Elizabeth.
Exactly. 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 For the record, I have been with CESD for 22 really? Years, 23 years. Yeah. So,
wow. Yeah. I
they're my only voiceover reps.
Really?
Yep.
Ever since the beginning.
Since the beginning.
Wow. Yep. That's crazy.
Since right after Kim Possible. I'd had Batman Beyond and Kim Possible already.
Right.
And then I went, I'm not repped voiceover. I should probably get a voiceover.
You weren't repped?
No. So
how'd they find you for KP?
Well, I was on Boy Meets World. Yeah, Boy Meets World. I was a Disney kid, you know, so they kind of like to keep stuff in the family there. And Batman Beyond was just because Bruce Timm's wife was a Boy Meets World fan.
Wow.
So it was after I did those two shows that I went into CESD and I was like, hey, shit. Because my best friend Jason Marsden was with CESD at the time. And he's like, I think you should come in. He was Max in a Goofy movie. And he's been everything.
Mm. He was Binks.
Yeah, he was Binks in
Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus. Yeah. And,
wow.
And so I,
Hocus
yeah.
Pocus.
And so, yeah, he said, you got to come in and meet my agency. And they've been great for me. Wonderful. So I was, yeah. They're my faves.
And you're there and you're happy.
I'm there. Well, yeah, I joined CESD and it was kind of off the races. Slightly before I joined CESD, I had sent all of my emails out to all the anime studios, which leads me to anime, because I've always wanted to do anime. And that was my main goal on Twitter and in general, was getting anime, because anime is kind of like that step above the amateur. It's becoming way more mainstream.
It's crazy. I mean, way more mainstream.
But that was like the step. And then I was like, what better way to get recognition than anime? There's nothing else in the world. Like even Western cartoons, unless you're in the most popular cartoon around, the popularity isn't there.
Sure.
At least on social media. And so I was sending out to all the anime studios. Studiopolis was the only one to come back to me for a show called Jujutsu Kaisen, which is was probably the biggest show for anime last year.
Mm-hmm. And Studiopolis is great, by the way.
Yeah, and I love them. Yeah. But they were the only ones to get back to me. And with that audition, and I auditioned for every single male character. Blew my voice out doing it, which was not the best, because even if I was cast, I wouldn't have been able to do it because of how quick anime moves.
Yeah.
So pretty much got that anime opportunity, but nothing came out of it. But they knew who I was. I joined CESD. I got the audition for Tokyo Avengers, which is through Studiopolis. I booked that. I also booked another lead character in a different show for Funimation in Texas at the same time. Those, you know, were huge. And then right after that, I started getting, you know, I got my first pilot for an animated show that I did last year, and now I'm the main character on an animated show that hasn't quite been
can't really talk about yet.
But
of course,
it's you know, guarantee is going to have a couple seasons and everything like that, and it's a big thing. So I'm very lucky to be where I am now.
There you go. That's well, congratulations. Talk about making it happen for yourself. Essentially,
yeah.
I mean it's iconic. It's amazing. Yeah. I can't wait to see what you're going to do. But I also we like to have fun. We like to joke.
Fun is
we
good.
Like to do things.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know,
I like to have some fun.
So we have something fun's very cool, and he usually does a spiel. So I'll give you my spiel here.
So
no, wait, I thought I was going to do the spiel.
Oh, you said you're going to do the spiel.
A spiel
away,
for the spiel.
Listen, spiel.
We're doing something fun here on I Hear Voices.
Is that how you're going to do it? I'm curious. Is that how you're going to do it? No, go ahead. No, it's okay. What do they call that? You can just do this for 6 hours on
ASMR.
TikTok.
ASMR.
ASMR.
ASMR. Yeah.
Oh, gosh, just the
I'm
world.
Into it.
Oh.
I'm into
you are?
It. Yeah.
Wow.
What? Don't I'm, judge. Don't I'm judge.
Judging a little bit. Slightly.
I'm into the ASMR. Okay. Basically, we're going to do this fun thing. It's going to be interactive. Eventually, on my social media, I posted something before we started filming, and I was like, hey, guys, please send in, you know, your kids, or if you're a fan of animation, send in like a drawing, you know, of a character that you would like to get voiced by an amazing, talented person. Cute.
So eventually what we're going to have is we're going to have a big screen here, and the kids are actually going to be able to talk to their favorite voiceover actors and then show the stuff that they've drawn, and then their favorite voiceover actors will be able to put a voice to it. But since we don't have the screen yet, we do have some artwork here. And so if you don't mind, we're going to randomly pick from some of the ones we have here and see if you can put a voice or two together to the character. Are you going to do your fan out?
What? Yeah.
Your fan out?
Yeah.
And I just randomly pick?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
And then we'll see if you see on the top of the top of the picture should be the age and the name of the person who did it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's a backstory and sometimes there's not.
And they just, wow. They
and you are going to voice it.
Okay.
You are going to do great.
If we ever get it fanned out.
I'll try it.
We call this the really
this
long fan out show.
The most nerve wracking thing I've ever done in my
life. You know,
life.
You can no, just hand them the things.
You here don't... you go.
Okay. I'll, and just one?
What are, well, let's do two.
Okay, sure. This one. and this one.
All right. Who do we have here? What do we got?
Aww. Sorry, here you go.
Okay, it's a kid. Okay.
Who is this? Let's
who did
see.
This one? It's like a Unikitty, kind of.
Yeah. Okay. Audrey.
Audrey.
Aubrey.
And you sung it with such gusto. Carol. It's Martha. Sorry.
B looked like a D when I was looking through the paper.
Do we know how old?
She's 12.
Aubrey is? Okay, so Aubrey
and she drew
12.
A Unikitty.
A Unikitty.
Yeah,
what should
Unikitty.
We name the character? Is the character already named?
So what we've been saying with the characters with no backstory that haven't been named is we name them after the artist. So that's Aubrey the Unikitty.
Aubrey the Unikitty.
And is that how you is that so
yeah.
Is that how you do it?
Sleeping. Oh, beautiful dreams. Oh, gumdrops and rainbows.
That's what I see.
There you go.
See.
Perfect. Well, that's what works like a charm.
Aubrey
the Unikitty has
wow,
been named.
Wow, Aubrey, I want to snuggle.
Aubrey the Unikitty. That's
and then
so
this
cute.
One
that's
is
from
really
Sam.
Great. Sam is the
Sam.
Is the artist that and the illustrator that did
our
beautiful
wonderful
logo.
Set here.
No way.
In our parents' basement.
This is amazing.
A lot of people don't know we are in our parents' basement right now. Because we went
that
and
seems
a full
on brand.
4-year scholarship.
Yeah, that works.
Four-year college.
It actually took me 12 years to finish my degree.
I've been kidnapped. I haven't been.
Blink twice.
Yeah.
You can name this one whatever you want. And I think can we show it to the camera again here?
Oh, here.
We're back. We've got a lot of cats and a lot of fishes, which we
yes,
like.
Yes. And this actually gives me ASMR vibes. Like you know, because this is like her peril.
Oh, please,
peril.
Please do an ASMR fish.
Okay, ASMR fish.
What is an ASMR fish?
You'll see.
I'll do some singing to my ASMR my pearl. Hush, little baby, don't you cry. You're gonna grow up to survive. I have no idea what she would be saying to her pearl.
Wow.
But probably whispering them sweet nothings and telling them that it's going to be okay. Like Nemo, except it wasn't really okay in Nemo. Sweet little baby, you are the most precious thing I have in my life, and I hope you grow up to be even more precious as time goes on, and I love you so much. That made no sense.
No, it's actually, I thought it was okay. Perfect.
It's
and I
perfect.
Totally would cast you as this fish.
Really?
You
would?
Yeah.
My audition would have been so
I don't know.
I
feel like
both
I feel
your
like
characters,
really?
AJ. It really
Thank
did.
You. Yes.
You
my
have
personal
such
favorite
a dynamic
one.
Voice.
Yeah. Now do them anime.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Let's do them anime.
Now
then.
Do them anime? Really, it all anime is just super breathy all
yeah.
the time.
So, sure.
Little baby, you're going to be the most greatest little pearly ever. And don't you think twice about it.
And this one.
The favorite.
This one's
so great. Aubrey's.
I feel like in anime, this would actually be the most aggressive character.
Oh, sure.
It would be.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You better not wake me up. How dare you? I'm sleeping here.
Yeah.
There
High
you
five,
go.
AJ!
Yes.
Thank you so
Thank you.
Much for coming. This has been a blast
this has
getting
been great.
To know you and
Thank
your
you.
Journey.
Well, that's the thing. I've got to be totally honest with you. I thought this is one of the things I love about this show. I thought this entire episode was going to go a completely different way. I thought we were going to talk about anime the entire time. And it wasn't about that at all. It was about the actually getting of a legitimate answer to the question of how do I get here?
Yeah.
How do I get here from where I was before, which is a place that had nothing to do with the industry, a mm-hmm. place that really wasn't surrounded by anything to do with the industry, and I knew what I wanted to do. Now, how do I get to where I want to be? And you came in and you just answered that question.
Yeah, super long-winded, but pretty much the gist is just work really
well,
hard.
Any journey is long. Any journey worth its while is long. I mean,
true.
I'm
here.
It's really impressive. You're here, and
you're
you live here now in
no.
the warmth.
It's crazy. I can't believe it still. But I'm here.
Well, we're here for you too.
Thank
if
you.
You ever need anything or any guidance, please do.
I appreciate
Reach
that.
Out.
Is so
thank
awesome.
You.
AJ Beckles, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much
we
for having me.
It.
Bye.
And don't forget, they say youth is wasted on the young. Go prove them wrong. Thanks, everybody.
I Hear Voices is hosted by Wilfred L. and Christy Carlson Romano. Produced by Elizabeth Joy Windham and executive produced by Brendan Rooney and Wilfred L. Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham, and our video editor is Eduardo Gamba. And that was my announcer voice.
Some side effects of listening to I Hear Voices are sore abs from hilarity, falling down the Cocomelon rabbit hole, sneezing due to mass nostalgia, and hugs.
Follow I Hear Voices wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss any of the amazing voices.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at I Hear Voices Podcast. To see the video stream, subscribe to my YouTube channel.
You can also check us out on MySpace, Omegle, Vine, LimeWire, AIM, and Napster.
Okay, Will, let's teach you about the internet.
The what?